This is the Future of IP Protection podcast, brought to you by MorphVision. This show is dedicated to arming companies with the skills, know-how, and technology they will need to future-proof their IP protection strategy for the years ahead.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Future of IP Protection podcast. I'm Brandi Spence, head of marketing with MorphVision.
I'm speaking with Megan Wolfgram, founder and CEO at SwiftPaws, a health and wellness lifestyle brand for pets. Megan, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So Megan, I alluded to this a little bit before we got on here, but I actually, before we get started, remember you from about a year and a half ago, sitting on my sofa with my one-year-old at the time, mini golden doodle, watching Shark Tank, and we saw you pitching there your amazing product. And I mean, I just thought, what a cool idea. I had never seen anything like it in the past. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you started this company and what it was like to be on Shark Tank pitching this?
Thank you so much. Yeah, so SwiftPaws, it's been a whirlwind since Shark Tank, but we actually have quite a long history. I founded the company in 2012, a little over a decade ago. That's because of this dog right here. His name was Pretzel, and he was a miniature pincher. I discovered the sport of lure coursing, which is like any other dog sport, like agility or duck diving, where you see the dogs jumping into the water. But at the time, it was only open to sight hound breeds. So that's like, think of your dogs that like to chase stuff. And lure coursing is chasing after a fake squirrel, or it's usually just a plastic bag. So a sight hound would be like a greyhound or a whippet. And obviously, Pretzel was not a sight. So I wanted to try it anyway. There was nowhere to try it time near me. So I found a sight hound trial and they said, well, if you come all the way up here and there's time at the end of the day and it's okay with the lure operator, it's okay with the judge. Basically, it was like, maybe we'll let you give it a try just for fun. I thought, well, I can't really drive 6 hours for a maybe. So I had discovered the idea. I didn't want to let it go. Thought maybe I'll buy a piece of equipment. And unfortunately, equipment at the time cost about $4,000.
Oh my God.
Very expensive. And I just graduated from college, so it was not going to happen. So again, one of my best qualities is that I'm a little bit too stubborn to let something go that I have come up with. And so I ended up making a crude but working machine with the help of my dad. And Pretzel loved it. It was like he found his calling. He loves chasing stuff. And so at the end of that summer, I thought, well, let's go out with a bang. I've got to buckle down and find a real job. I had graduated from college that May, and I thought, when I would be going back to school, I'm going to look for work. And so as a last hurrah, I had an event with all my agility friends. They brought out their dogs. We let them all run and have a great time on the machine that I built. And that snowballed into doing a once-a-month event because they all said, when are we doing it again? And then that snowballed into maybe other people want an affordable piece of equipment too. Little did I know, the same year that I founded SwiftPaws was the same year that the American Kennel Club actually opened up a version of the sport for all breeds of dogs. So now any breed, any size dog, even a dog that you adopted from a rescue or shelter could participate in the sport of lure coursing. And so I was in the right place at the right time with a piece of equipment that was really well suited to running all shapes and sizes of dogs. So we got our start making professional grade equipment and then pivoted to consumer in the poster behind me, 2018, when we launched our first version on Kickstarter. So I like to say we became a real startup when we shipped our first consumer version of the product. That was in 2019. Then COVID happened, yes, which was kind of a blessing and a curse. We had material delays for the first half of the year. We were out of stock until about July of 2020. But then we had our best year ever from July to December. And then 2021 was when we sort of started the whole Shark Tank thing. We got reached out to late in the year. I found myself pitching to the sharks, which was a crazy experience. And then that aired in April of last year. So we just had our 1 year anniversary.
So it was about a year. I thought so.
It was.
Amazing. So what? Tell me about that whole Shark Tank experience. Like, how crazy was that?
So it happened really quickly for me. I know a lot of people actually apply as much as a year in advance. But for me, a producer did reach out and kind of said, hey, have you ever thought of applying? There's no guarantee. There's no shortcut. You still have to apply. You still have to make it through the criteria, same as anybody. But at that point, Of course, I had thought about buying Shark Tank. I didn't think my baby was ready. You see people go up there with what seems like very solid businesses, and the sharks kind of say, it's too niche, or no, this isn't this type of business. And so I was really terrified, and I had never stopped to see how far we've come. And so to me, it was this tiny little business, and I still feel that way. It's my baby, and I thought, we're not ready yet. But that producer, she was wonderful. She said, you know, I really think you have something that dog owners, right, pet parents are going to love. So if nothing else, like, consider applying, because we think that what you have here is really engaging and that you might be further along and more investable than you think. So that was the nudge that I needed. So, but from the time she reached out, from the time I applied to the time I was standing on a set in LA with my dog Piper was 6 weeks.
Oh my gosh. That was fast.
It was very, very, it does not always happen that quickly. I feel grateful because I didn't have time to panic.
Analyzed full speed.
Yeah. So I never had time to look back. In hindsight, that was a really good thing. Obviously, the reception and response was amazing from Shark Tank. I still wear, so this is Lori's golden ticket. She gave me her golden ticket on the show, which means she gave me exactly what I went into the tank asking for. I was so nervous about having to negotiate if they would even give me an offer. And so when she pulls this out, I lose it. I start crying. I cried way more than they even showed on TV. But not only was the opportunity to go and pitch to the sharks amazing, the response, the result was amazing. And we actually did close on the deal. So Lori and I are partners. I have her as an advisor. She, I mean, has been so much more involved even than I would have imagined. Like the day before we aired, she called me on the phone and we went through my website page by page, making sure it was ready for the amount of traffic that was going to come. So having somebody like her advising me and helping me along the way, I've never run a company of this size before. I've never scaled a company to the places where we dream that we're going to go before. So having people like Lori and the other advisors who have done that before with other similar businesses, beneficial.
What an amazing story. Now, the flip side of that is with such huge success come the counterfeits and the knockoffs, right? So can you tell me a little bit about how soon after Shark Tank you started seeing any of that or what your experience there has been?
Yeah. So the first thing that I'll say is that I probably wouldn't have even considered going on Shark Tank if I didn't think that I had an investable business. And there's so many different criteria, but one piece is having IP, whatever that might be for whatever business you have. Some things are more readily protected than others. And for my business and my company, my main products, we actually have 2 utility patents and counting. And so knowing that I had IP gives you a slight bit more confidence that you're going to go out there, you're going to show it to the world. And I think that's the beauty of the USPTO, our patent and trademark system. It's there so that people like me who are inventors, who are dreamers, can move forward and put their ideas into the world without the fear that, okay, anything can happen at any time, but you have this piece of protection so that you have a chance to really make the most of what you've invented. And so having the IP in place, I thought likely that this is going to see a challenge at some point, but I felt confident knowing that when that day came to pass, again, having Lori as a partner, she has, I don't know how many hundreds of patents to her name, but having resources, advisors, and knowing that there's a way forward and that you have protected your business was really important to me from the outset.
That was just so smart and so forward thinking. And not all founders are typically thinking in terms of that. So kudos to you for that.
Yeah, thank you. And then about the timing. So it was earlier this year. So it's probably about a year from when we aired on Shark Tank. We actually saw sort of a knockoff. So there's 2 things that happened. One thing has happened since we first went on Kickstarter, right? That's probably the first time that this got out there into the world. And that is, you have complete scam and fraud. So this is the type of counterfeit where no product actually exists. He usually pops up on social media. It's never on someplace like Amazon because it would never pass muster there. But they'll pop up and they'll take your images and they'll say, hey, we're selling it. And this product, by the way, is a $450 product at a base price. So they'll take that and they'll say, it's $60 or it's $30. And they never ship you anything. They hope that a certain percentage of people will never do a chargeback. They disappear. You'll never find them. It breaks my heart when I see it because people get taken advantage of. Consumers don't always even know what the value of the product is. And they just see that it's cool. And they see, oh, wow, $60, I'd pay for that. Right. And then they never get anything. And they never really even have a chance to do some recourse. By the time they want to, it's gone. So that's something we've dealt with for years. And that usually happens around the holidays or various times. We're always keeping an eye out for that type of scam. As heartbreaking as that is when it happens, the process to go through the DCMA takedowns and the trademarks, and I mean, all of our stuff is trademarks. That's not even necessarily a patent process, but it is an IP process. So I mention that because I don't know of any other Shark Tank company or other brands that I've talked with who haven't had that similar thing happen where it just pops up and they don't even have a product.
And your reputation's taking a hit. I mean, your reputation's on the line with something like that, right?
So. It is, because they're sort of parading around as you to say, oh, we are SwiftPod. And it is a brand new website. It's a brand new account that has no followers. Sometimes the account isn't even really related. And if somebody were to dig through the layers, even in another layer deep, they could see that it's not a legitimate business, but it can be so hard these days to tell. And that's why we only sell currently directly on our website, SwiftPod.com, and we also sell on Amazon. But gosh, do your homework, because anybody out there, and I've learned to be a better and a more educated consumer, I will check, okay, is this truly the brand? Because it's so easy these days to steal a photo, put it up, make it for sale, and you don't even have the product. But the counterfeit, so now we're talking about a completely separate thing altogether.
Right.
Counterfeit is when somebody has, at least to some degree, tried to recreate your product. And we saw our first and probably currently only counterfeit pop up earlier this year. And it did pop up on Amazon. I bought one.
That's probably the first purchasing. You were obviously checking it out.
Yeah. So I think it's really important when you do have IP that to have any real legal recourse, you have to do what's called a claims chart. You have to compare that product to your product. And you're, you know, hopefully everybody has really good IP legal advice and counsel. So I immediately ordered one, got it in-house, sent it over to my legal team and counsel. I work with a local firm that helped me to prosecute and secure my patent. And so they're the same ones that are going to help me with any of this type of issue. Mm-hmm. Amazon has made it easy with a new Apex program that's only available to North American, so to US-based sellers. And I had the benefit of being able to go through that program now that it's pretty much fully established. It was a fairly simple process. It was very clear that it infringed. And so we went through the process and that's been removed. As smooth as that was, it's still a moment of panic because all of a sudden you see what took you years to create has taken somebody months to recreate, albeit poorly, but that doesn't matter. There's a few things that really hurt. And the first thing is, of course, all that effort. Wow. And now, okay, is this going to undercut me? Is this going to take away business? Is this going to make it harder for me as an American manufacturer, because we do our assembly in my hometown, we do our fulfillment out of my hometown. This product isn't made in China. And I don't think a lot of people understand that. So the price point that it's at, I probably could sell it for cheaper if I offshored, but part of my morals and values are that I'd love to do as much as I can in my backyard.
Sure.
Not to the exclusion of all else. There's certain components like the batteries that I can't get from the US, and that's okay. But when I can, I try to do it here. So first of all, it hurts that because you're thinking, okay, am I going to have to try to compete with that now? Well, the second thing is, and this is something that when I started this company, it was at the forefront of my mind and it will always be at the forefront, is safety. This is a product that gets dogs really active and running. You have a high speed piece of string that's running around. And so we've got hundreds of thousands, I'm not even exaggerating, dollars of research and development into safety. We have built-in safety features in every, we have mechanical safety features. We have software safety features, everything down to battery compartments. And we ship every package with a LiPo bag so that you can safely charge and store your battery. So of course, the counterfeit doesn't have any of those safety features. It really is a shame because I care about the animal at the bottom line. Regardless of if I get put out of business by a counterfeiter, I don't want anybody's pet to have a bad experience or, heaven forbid, have an injury because they purchased a counterfeit product that has zero safety features.
Yeah, of course. That's
so the first two pieces of panic were, oh my God, how do I deal with this? And oh my gosh, I hope nobody gets hurt.
That's terrifying. So you said you went through the Amazon program. Can you tell us a little bit about that program and how it worked for you?
It is a patent evaluation program. So it's specifically for, I believe at this point in time, so it is changing and evolving, it is for brands that have a utility patent. So because I have a utility patent, I was able to register that with Amazon. I am the owner of my brand of SwiftPaws. So we have brand registry, which is very important for anybody selling on Amazon who has their own brand to go through that process. Mm-hmm. We already had that in place. We can also register our IP. And so then you can basically say, hey, this product, this ASIN, whatever this is in, we believe this is infringing on our patent. The APEX program is a little bit long. They sort of notify the potential infringing party. They have that party has time to respond. And so it's a very formal process. If they reply and they say, we don't believe we're infringing, both parties then have to put money into a holding account. An independent review will happen and the winner will get their money back. So that is extra incentive for anybody who is knowingly infringing. It's not worth it to them. They will just not reply. And then you sort of get a judgment in your favor because there was no reply.
Right.
It also is a good benefit to anybody who, like if you've got a brand out there that's trying to take out competition that may not be infringing, it's a great way to alleviate that because a brand isn't going to want to lose money. They're really going to want to make sure that they believe there's infringement happening before they submit. So we went through that process. It took about 6 weeks from start to finish, but that went in our favor. And so it could happen again. It could pop up again. But at least we know that we have the ability to protect our IP on that platform. And others are similar, right? So there's Shopify. There's other places where you can go through those same types of processes and protect your IP.
Yeah. All marketplaces have some sort of process. So in this whole journey of fighting to take them down, what have you learned, I suppose?
I've learned patience. So running a business and a startup anyway, I didn't set out going, I want to run a startup and I want to make a product and I want to solve a problem. It happened very organically, which I say is a blessing and a curse, right? The blessing because we grew very organically. We've been very demand driven. I've had the luxury of time to develop my product and make sure that I love it. And it's a little bit of a curse because what took me a decade to do can be recreated very quickly. So the IP and having strong IP in place and having a legal team that you trust, right? We're working on continuations on that patent. We're coming up with new products that are unrelated to this core product, but still in the realm of pet enrichment, anything to get your pet's brain and body moving. And there will be more IP to follow. So just having a strong team around you that you can go to for advice. So when you panic, you've got those panic moments. My first thought is, who do I know that's in my circle that I can go to? So already having those relationships in place saves you from having to find them when there's a problem. It makes you a lot more nimble and faster to respond. So I knew like first call, okay, this has happened. What do we do? And also I've learned this. We took our first round of investment in 2020, and my investors have quickly become my first go-to when anything goes wrong. Yes, they're there for strategic advice. They help guide and direct the company. They're there to celebrate success, but I really lean on them when there's a problem. I think a lot of people are afraid to let their investors, you know, there's a problem. They're the first people I call because they have so much savvy and they can help me solve the problem faster than if I were to feel ashamed and, oh no, this has happened. I've gone to them a few times for a few reasons. And every single time, they are that voice of reason. So I've learned to really trust the resources around me and also to try to have stuff in place. Because when you need it, is the last time that you want to be looking for it.
Sure. I mean, ultimately, they want you to succeed. And they are very savvy. They've seen a lot. So I can...
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, that was an interesting journey for sure. So now And you've given a few things that you've learned, but now for other small businesses that are experiencing similar issues, what would be the number one piece of advice that you might give to them?
Know the industry that you're in, know the vertical you're in, know what protection you can have, and then know the channel that you're on. If your channel is social selling, Meta, right? If your channel is Shopify, if your channel is drop shipping, if you're, so every single channel, they actually have really robust terms, rules, processes in place to handle this type of thing. Learn it now. Learn it before you need it. That way, when you have to do a DCMA takedown, you know how to do it. It's not a surprise and new and you're fumbling through the process. And it's something that I wish I would have looked into more even prior to needing it the first time, because that probably took me 2 weeks to figure it out the first time. Whereas now, okay, same day we find it, we file a takedown and it's no issue.
Right. That's great. All right. So what's next for Swift Paws? What are you guys up to? Where are you going to be in about 3 years from now?
Oh, I'm so excited for the future. This is the single coolest thing I've ever done in my life. The journey has been such an education. I get to play with dogs all day. Okay.
What's not now, right?
Not all day, but I get to think about how do I better pet lives every day. That's amazing. And so I'm not in a hurry, but at the same time, I want to grow Swift Paws as best I can to help impact and provide this kind of enrichment to as many pets as I can. So we actually just had our 1 year anniversary of airing on Shark Tank. Like we said, we launched our most affordable version ever on the 1 year anniversary. So Chase is the name of the product. It is a pre-order product. It's not available. It's not shipping yet, but we're really bringing everybody along for the journey. So I'm not sure I'm familiar with any other brands who have done this, but product development has been a big learning curve. It's not easy. We work with a bunch of engineering resources. But there's a whole team. It takes a village. And so I think that part of what people really love about Shark Tank is that they get to take a sneak peek behind the scenes of a scrappy startup trying to make it work and a real life entrepreneur. So we're kind of pulling the curtain back and we're saying, if you'd like to join us on this development journey, we're developing Chase. The response from Shark Tank was, we love it, make it more affordable. So we are trying to do that to the best of our ability. And we're actually bringing our pre-order customers along for the ride, and they're able to help us influence and make decisions along the way. So we'll be shipping Chase later this year, but right now it's available for pre-order at a really discounted price. And we've already had some amazing feedback from our Chase pre-order customers. We're doing surveys, we're doing live videos with them. And I love getting input from customers, good, bad, or ugly. I've also learned that input can never be bad input if it helps you to grow and if it helps you to learn.
Right. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I'm looking forward to learning more about Chase. That's so exciting. Well, that's all the time we're going to have for today, but I thank you so much for joining us. And if our listeners want to get in touch with you before we wrap it up here, what would be the best place for them to go and where could they learn more about Swift Paws and all the wonderful products you have?
Yeah, Swift Paws is easy to find. Go to swiftpaws.com, look us up on any of your favorite social media. We're very easy to get in touch with too. So we love it when people write us and when people have ideas. We do have a public Facebook community group. You can go, you can see, you can share, you can ask questions. So if you have any other questions about Swift Paws, you want to see it in action with real people and real dogs, you can check out the community group or just go to our website.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, listeners, for tuning into the Future of IP Protection podcast. Please be sure to subscribe for more discussions about the future of IP. And thanks again, Megan. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Randy. It was my pleasure, too.
Take care, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Future of IP Protection podcast brought to you by Mark Vision. If you enjoyed today's show, please do us a favor and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you'd like to learn more about how Mark Vision can help you transform your IP protection strategy, visit us at markvision.com. Thanks again, and I'll catch you on the next episode.